We had a wonderful time at the nursing home today. Good turnout over there. Thank you for your help. Had a blessed time with the meal that we ate before. And just looking forward to this evening service in the Word. Hey, the music all day long has been great, church. I appreciate your efforts in that. Choir did a great job. The congregational singing was wonderful. John chapter 3 there, and glad to have visitors back with us this evening. I'm glad to have the sign language class. Boy, it seemed like y'all had a good class turnout today. That's at 5:15. If you're interested in learning sign language, that'll be a blessing. There's something that I'd ask you to pray about. Miss Nancy has also another ministry that she does for us in the mornings, and at some time she is translating for up to 3 different people now, and so that is a blessing. 2 have become very faithful, and Miss Elizabeth's daughter comes sometimes, so y'all be praying for her with that, that maybe the Lord will provide a way where she can maybe talk directly into their ear. Won't have to be talking over their shoulder, because once you have 3, it's difficult for the 3rd one on one side to hear. What a blessing our Lord keeps adding ministries to our church there. So what we're going to talk about this evening, just for a little while. It's 7 o'clock. I know you're tired. Been doing a lot on the Lord's Day. So, just for a few moments, I won't keep you long. Hollow excuses. Hollow excuses. And you know, if something's hollow, it's empty. You holler off down into a holler of a barrel without anything on it. It echoes back at you. And so we're going to talk about hollow excuses. And we don't need, number one, we don't need anything that is empty, to be honest with you. And excuses, we can all come up with pretty good ones in our own mind sometimes. You know, there are reasons, and then there are excuses. You may have reasons for different things, what you can and cannot do, cannot be involved in, cannot try, or participate in, and reasons are okay, but excuses are never okay, because that's just the flesh trying to get out of doing what we know we should be doing. Anyway, John chapter 3, verse number 12. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? The excuse of unbelief. The excuse of unbelief. Boy, we can use that one. I get involved. I just don't believe God is in. Is going to help us get through that. I would do this and be there, but you know, I just don't believe it's something that's going to bring any lasting fruit. The excuse of unbelief. Jesus was talking to him, and of course you know the whole chapter of John chapter 3. And he said there, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? I don't know about you, dear friend, but I like it when God talks to me. I like it whenever the Holy Spirit of God gets into there, into my heart, into my being, and chills and shares with me some heavenly truths. Well, that's a blessing. And it does not have to be foreign to us at all. You know, if we don't believe that which we see, that which is visible, I mean, right there before us, I'm telling you, the Bible's full of things that are just plain black and white. I mean, there's no need of praying about it. None whatsoever. I mean, it's just there. I mean, just right in front of us. But unless there's a vision, according to Proverbs, people perish. Well, if there's vision, you've got to be able to see something. And I'm sorry to tell you, we can't see God with our naked eye. But we can sure see Him working all around us. We can see Him working in the earthly aspects of things. And if we see the earthly aspect, we open our eyes to that, and we look at that, I'm just here to tell you, God can do greater things than we could ever expect or hope that He would do in us, through us, and with us. It's an amazing thing to me that God has chosen people. I mean, He is actually, by Scripture, He's locked Himself in to use people to reach people with the gospel. How else can they hear except a preacher? He's locked it in. I mean, He locked it in on us. But He did say if we failed to cry out and failed to speak for Him, you know what? The rocks would cry out in our stead. Boy, I tell you, the excuse of unbelief. There's a lot that can be accomplished through us, through our families, through our church, through our Sunday school classes, through our ministries here, if we only believe that God is quite able. You know, He talked about, He said, in the Psalms, He talked about preparing a table for the nation of Israel in the wilderness. Well, there's been some times in my life that I knew for certainty what was happening at this very moment was nothing but God. Nothing but God. There was nothing else it could be. Boy, those are good times. I mean, those are wonderful, wonderful times. But when God does something for us in the earthly sense, and we fail to see it, or we fail to give thanks, or we fail to give glory, how can we believe beyond the earthly things? I'm telling you, God wants us to believe beyond, because there is greater things that's happening. We need to be careful that which we do, and that which we involve ourselves in, the energy we spend, that the persistence we put into something, we realize that there are eternal value to that. And boy, that's when we stand before God, we give an account in this body what we've done, whether good or bad, and He puts it to the fire, wood, hay, and stubble. You know what's going to happen? Burn up. But that which we put the effort into, and we put effort into a lot of things. We really do. Some things we put effort in that bring no eternal value at all. There's no lasting. We need to look beyond the now. We need to look beyond the now. We need to have some short-term goals and some long-term goals, and we need to have some evaluation points. And we say, Lord, I'm not going to put the excuse of unbelief there, because God, I've seen You work. I don't know how You're going to do it, God, but You're going to do it because You're well able to. Man, you remember when we were playing for a piano player early part of last year, and when Haley left? Actually, it was long ago. When did that boy take my daughter off? He needs to go to jail. If he wasn't married to her, I would get him for kidnapping. Then, you know, Miss Monda had to leave. She moved back. And boy, we were out one. Did y'all hear that this morning? Boy, Sister, that was wonderful. Appreciate it. That's from prayer. I told you God could do it. He could. We need to pray and seek God's face. I told you there are several ways this can happen. And you know what's the amazing thing? God did it even without us. I'm just going to tell you the story again, because it gives me chills every time I think about it. I said, we can pray God gives us somebody that's in a juke joint playing piano for the world. The world's had them long enough. It's time they get in here and get these for God. We can reach somebody with the gospel that way. God can move them from Lord knows where. There's 50 states that he can move them from. 7 continents. Take your pick. Lord, I'm not really bothered if they can only speak Chinese and play the piano. I'm okay. Doesn't bother me if that's what you want to send our way, because I guess the notes in music are all in notes, right? They're not language barriers, are they? It's a circle with a little bitty parachute thing hanging down there. It's on the middle clef. It's a C, I guess. And you just play. We just open up and let her fling. So, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you can do it. Lord, we know that there are piano players in the world. We pray. And we pray. We kept praying, Lord, help us. So the little kids got involved. Sister Price got involved. And we just gave forth that effort there. And Bentley started learning and playing. And boy, we just kept going for God. Kept going for God. You know what he said? Peter said, Lord, if that's you out there, bid me come. There was a tad bit of unbelief right there, wasn't it? He said, come. Peter never would have walked the water left, stepped out on the bank, out on the water and got out there. So we got to praying, Lord, help us. And then, man, I'm telling my story and it slipped my mind. What's his name, Sister? Sister Coulter, what's the man's name? His daughter comes with Sister Rennie. His daughter comes with Sister Rennie sometime. From Bible Baptist, years ago. Came here, too. Who?
Are you talking about Barbara
Kirkland? No, I'm talking about a man. Not Barbara. Unless, I mean, it's okay if you're not a man and your name's Barbara. I'm all right with Barbara, Sue, and all that. I'm talking about a man. I forget his name. See, that's how God gets the glory. I don't even know who he was. He called, he used to come to church here years ago, then he moved to Bible Baptist, and now he lives in Davenport. And he's going to church down there. A young man and his daughter, she was visiting with Miss Rooney. And just keep thinking, you'll get it in church somewhere. And he called my wife, answered the phone and said, I'd like to come by and meet the pastor. And I said, she said, well, here's the cell phone, call him. And he said, preacher, I used to live over here in BVL 25 years ago. And yes, ma'am. Brother Cagle. Cagle, right? Probably didn't pronounce that right, but he called and came over and met me. Said, I'm dropping my wife off at the airport. And I didn't witness to my neighbors like I should have 25 years ago, and so I want to go back to the street where I was living and go and visit folks. And I said, Brother Cagle, I don't know if you've been around here in the last 25 years. They none of your neighbors might not even live over there. And it's changed so much around. He said, don't matter, preacher. If you got some tracks, I'd like to go. And so he came by and got a stack of tracks and went visiting that day. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, Miss Ellen came. Miss Evan, she came. And said, I'm here because an elderly man came to visit me at my house and invited me to church. I said, is he here? I said, no, he's not here. Well, I said, well, maybe Brother Bernie did it. He was working. I thought it was you. Not that you owe me, Brother Bernie. Be careful. Brother Bernie's a young man. And she came back, and boy, I said, praise the Lord, that's a good visit. I'm glad that somebody visited. And then a week later, Sister Debbie came. And she told the same thing. She said, I'd usually throw this stuff away. Praise God, she didn't. But then it began to connect in my mind who it was, because I asked him again, is he here? No, it's not here. That's his Brother Cagle. That's him. And I'd lost his phone number. And his sister, I'd lost his name, matter of fact. It was just like I did a while ago. But I called Brother Cagle. I said, Brother Cagle, I'm going to tell you, the Lord's blessed your efforts. See, he believed that he could get right what he had done wrong 25 years ago. And he went out there and he passed out some tracks on the street that wasn't even the one he lived on. He said, "Preach, I couldn't even find this street. There's so many streets over there now." He said, "I decided to go to Quail Ridge." And I went over to Quail Ridge, passed out some tracts, and to this day, because of his belief, God brought, worked a miracle through our prayers. You know, some water, some plant. God brings the increase. Isn't how God works that? Because of belief. You know what we could have said? "Well, we just ain't going to have a piano player. Might as well just go ahead and just sing." Well, that's good too, because God's going to get the glory anyway. Sure is good when God adds and brings. And now you notice, late to join church, play the violin. I ain't even heard it play yet. I was gone when you played. How's God works like that? Faithfulness. Belief. God, this is your church, and you add to your church as you see fit. I tell you what, the excuse of fear gets us, doesn't it? Well, this morning's message order just removed all fear out of the way. Because we're going to give an account anyway. We're going to give an account. He gave 10 of them. Pounds. Called all 10 back up to give an account. The last of that bunch, he called him his enemy. Well, sometimes, you know, we're fearful. You know, we get afraid of criticism. You know, it's going to come. You try anything, you do anything for God, criticism's going to come. Well, if he'd just done it this way, well, praise God, if he would have just done it that way, well, why didn't you do it that way? That's a good answer. I mean, you don't have to be sarcastic, you know, like I am sometimes. You don't have to be sarcastic. You say, "Well, I appreciate the information. Maybe next time we can both try it together like that." Criticism, it's going to come. People see things different. And we're afraid of criticism many times. I tell you what, we ought to be more worried about how we are standing before God. Are we accepted in Him? And according to Ephesians 2, we're accepted in Him by the beloved, not because of what we've done. I guarantee you this, you're not going to get any more saved by getting busy. You're not going to be more accepted by being busy for God because we're accepted in Christ Jesus. Man, boy, we throw that excuse out there a lot. And I'm telling you, fear's a real thing. You folks that come up here and sing, well, I give it to you. Man, alive. That can be a scary thing. You folks that that take up the offering. I mean, can you imagine taking up the offering? You turn around and you see all you folks. I mean, just turn around. The first thing you see is you. That can be scary. What if they don't want to give no money? Well, you just ask for it anyway. You go to come over on Wednesday night, you see them kids. They don't mind. They come back to you 5, 6, 7, 8 times. I see some of them say, "I don't have no more." Some of you pull your pockets out and say, "Hey, you don't have any more." But we make all excuses. Listen, fear is a real thing. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Has not. But sometimes we use that as an excuse. Man, I teach a Sunday school class, but I'm afraid. What are they going to do, bite on you? Sister Rena, them kids ever bit up on your leg? No. Sister Barbara, them women ever pulled your hair out? I've been to this man ain't never run up here and wrestled me down. Listen, it happened with Stephen. It did happen. Brother Scott, them teenage boys over there, they throw you down out to lock you out. But we, Lord, man, I sing in the choir, but I'm afraid. They laugh at me. Ain't nobody going to laugh at you. Those are all excuses the devil have to use. You know what? The excuse of procrastination. Oh, we're good at that one, aren't we? I've got that on my list. You know, ask your wives about that list. That honey-do list, ask them. You keep just adding to the list. Before long, she's got to buy you another notepad as you just start over again. Procrastination. We do that a lot, won't we? Well, I'm going to start coming to Wednesday night service. I got to get it in my schedule. And we talk about it. It's good to be in Wednesday night, by the way, but we put it off. Because, you know, I'm going to come to the Scripture Press work night, and some of you may have been the first time you was going to plan was to come this past week. This past week, for this past Monday. We had to cancel it because of different things, grandkids being born, you know, and workers not being available to come and to mine on Tuesday. No, I'm just kidding. But we weren't ready for you. You just come and stood around. We could have just come and had coffee. Brought some donuts, just talked and had coffee. That would have been good, too. You know, you said, well, see, I planned to be there this last week, and look, they canceled on me. And so I'll think about coming in. We procrastinate. When we throw that excuse out there about getting at it, look in Numbers chapter 13 real quick. Numbers chapter 13. Hollow excuses. Boy, we got them, don't we? I just come to figure out in my life, I'm going to do exactly what I want, so I might as well go ahead and say and determine within myself, why don't I do what's pleasing to Him? Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. Numbers 13. Verse 26, the Bible says there in verse 26 of Numbers chapter 13. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we're in their sight. The excuse of false modesty. False modesty. When we want to think we're big, we're big. You know the old story of how kids get around the block and they're playing and they're talking. And years ago, my daddy can beat up your daddy and so forth and so on. No, my daddy's bigger than your daddy and he can whip your daddy, and back and forth they go. My mama can cook better than your mama, and so forth and so on. That there, you know, and sometimes we get to look at some. Verse 31, it says, but the men that went up with him said, but we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Just that false one. Look, they're much stronger. That wasn't the problem. Probably they were just simply scared. The problem was they didn't want to be obedient to God. And so, well, they're just much bigger than we are. Well, the problem's just so great. I don't know that we can overcome this problem. Maybe another church could overcome problems, but I just don't know if we can have. Maybe another family, they can get through this, but I'm just not sure that we can get through it. There's giants, and boy, the inhabitants there, they just eat up the land. Now, here's what it did. Preacher, the nation's wicked. It's gone bad. They're just really, I don't know that we can do anything. Really? I'm sure that we can't, but I know a God that can. We are by ourselves. We'll be like the seven sons of Sceva. You know what they'll say? Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? But I'll tell you something, dear friend. God can. God's well able. And we just say, Lord, I can't do this, but Lord, if you'll work through me, I'm a willing vessel that will allow you to use me for your honor and your glory. And when it's all said and done, I'll give you all the praise. God had done promise the nation Israel this land. God had done promise them that it was theirs. There's another excuse to give. Busyness. Busyness. Man, I'm just so busy. I just can't. Do you remember those that were invited to the wedding? And they all began to give excuses. One, I bought a land, and I've got to go try that land. And this, see the land, I look, I bought some animals, I gotta go try these animals. I got married, and I've gotta go try my wife. Really? I mean, you buy land you've never seen, you got animals you've never seen, pull a plow, and what was it? They were given that excuse, I'm really busy. Hey, we can get busy with things that are not important. I think we need to step back in the rest of this year, because I'm telling you, March is gone and we're the first quarter we're in. And we need to look back from January to March and just see how busy we were for God. We need to look back and say, hey, was my priorities right? Was God here and everything else fitting around God? Or was everything else in the jar and we're trying to shove God in? Because we come up with some good excuses sometimes about being busy, when it's really, that's just a hollow excuse. It's a hollow, hollow excuse. John chapter 4. We're almost done, I promise you. John chapter 4. Verse 31. John 4, verse number 31, the Bible says there in verse 31, and we're going to read down to verse number 38. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here it is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. You know what? If we're not careful, God has done prepared the plucking or the picking of the fruit, and the harvest is there and it's ready. That means somebody else before us put away the excuses, put away their selfishness, and they got busy for God, and they were there, and they did what they should have done. And God said, okay, thank you. You go do something else. I've got somebody else that's going to come in behind you and harvest it. And if it's our turn to come in behind somebody else, and we're to harvest, and we're to labor, and we're to glean, and we're to get the fruit in. It's what God's asked us to do, and we throw excuse. I'm afraid. I'm busy. I'll get to it tomorrow. I just don't believe I can do this job. and the harvest time passed. Think about that brother or that sister who labored before you. They come back around the circle and they see that which they had worked hard for, and it's just there. And it's like it's leaned over, it's dying, it hadn't been watered, it hadn't been cared for. Perhaps somebody won somebody to the Lord, and God says, hey, you can disciple this person. That person that won them to the Lord comes by and says, wow, what happened? Well, I was going to disciple them, but I was busy. I just wasn't sure that I could get the job done. That person before that labored, and if they're not careful and you're not careful, you become a stumbling block to them. So, Lord, why should I even be busy, Lord? Why should I put forth that effort? Because you said the harvest is ready and it's there. And you said that I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor when men labored and ye entered into their labors. Lord, I did my part. They didn't do their part. Is it really worth it? That's what the devil would have them to see. But let me tell you something. If they do their part faithfully unto God, they are going to be rewarded. The end results doesn't matter. Leave the results up to God. But we're human. We're human. Choir practice comes around, choir time comes around, and you're to be in the choir and be practicing. Guess what? If you're not there, and then you come up on Sunday morning to sing, and you know what you say to the other ones? I don't have to labor at practice. That's how it works. It's not about laboring at practice. It's about just being and doing the part that you're responsible for. After all, it shouldn't be that much of a labor to get up and do something you love. Joy, praising and singing and worshiping the holy, righteous God in song. I'm going to ask you this. Whatever excuse we come up with, will it stand? Will it stand? We say, Lord, here's the excuse, or here's the reason. Will the Lord look at it and say, yes, this is a good reason, I understand? Or will he say, what is this? This doesn't even hold weight. It's hollow. It's empty. Because there is reasons. Don't let the devil beat you up about your reasons either. He'll try to do that too. Hey, we are one person. We can't do everything, but that which we can do, I should do. And that's all I'm responsible for. And when I say I can't do this, I will not do that, I'm afraid to do this, those are excuses. Lord, here I am. I will do it, and I will submit myself to you, and the results are left up to you. And let him handle it. Ask yourself this. Whenever the time is our ministry or whatever, the object to be obtained is put before you, whatever it may be. Will my reason stand? The question from God. God, I can't do this because of. And the Lord would say, I understand that. Appreciate you being with me. Appreciate you being willing. Hollow excuses. We don't need them. We've got too much to do. Occupy till I come. Let's stand to our feet, church.